Okay. I'm going to want you to start out here. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs to begin with. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4. You know, last week, the message that the Lord gave was about how he's a God that's hidden in plain sight. The Scripture says in Isaiah 45:15 that God hides himself. He hides himself because he wants us to see him. How important that is, huh? And we're going to be talking about that. He's not really far from any of us, the book of Acts tells us. The scripture in Matthew 7:7 that we talked about last week, that those who seek him diligently will find him, you know? And sometimes, after we've come to a born-again experience, we could think that, oh, okay, that seeking is done. I found him. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And there's something that's always there for us to seek after when it comes to God. Isn't it?
Yes.
That quest isn't over once we're born again. That there is so much of who he is for us to come to know, to come to appreciate, to come to be connected with. So that we can be everything that he wants us to be. He's created us for particular purposes. And I want to start out here. This whole thing about seeing him, you know, the scripture tells us that wherever two or three are gathered, there he is in their midst, right? Wherever two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in their midst. And I would pray that we would have eyes to see, because this whole thing of being able to seek after God, if he's hiding himself, we're looking to see him. We're looking to find him, right? And that finding is a seeing, and it's a seeing that goes beyond being able to see in this realm, but in the realm that's beyond this. And this is where people get trapped all the time, because they're always looking for some kind of sensual experience of seeing him. We all would like him just to appear. Then we'll know. You know? And yet, he was with Adam and Eve in the garden. What? Even seeing him didn't make them just be good and do everything just the way he wanted, did it? And so God has withdrawn, and he wants us to seek. He's not just going to be there. We need to seek him. That's what we have to do. And if we do seek him, and if we do it diligently, he promises us that we are going to find him. Isn't that right? One of the things I said last week, too, was that, you know, if you trust in Christ and you trust in his word, this helps you to be able to see, doesn't it?
Yes.
So I'm going to start out here talking about something that's in the book of Proverbs 4, and it's verse 7. And in the word of God, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. You know, when you say, oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, I see. That means you understand something, doesn't it? And here in our getting for wisdom, and we're to also get understanding. We're also supposed to be able to see what eyes can't see. Yeah? You got that? So, you know, we pray for things, and we don't see them happening, and yet we can trust God, can't we? We trust God. We have an understanding that goes beyond the natural realm, and we made that choice. We made that. We put our trust into what we can't see. Lots of times, don't we?
Yes.
Because we know, we trust that what's here is true. We know and we trust that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He didn't have to do that. And he was resurrected, and the power of God was manifest, and he's placed his spirit within us. We all believe this, don't we?
Yes.
Why? Because you see it?
No.
Were you there? Were you at the crucifixion? Were you at the resurrection? Were you at the ascension? Then what is it? You believe the word of God. You believe that. In other words, you trust that. There's something within you that witnesses that that is true. But the enemy doesn't just say, oh, I got to give up on them because they're born again now. No. He's coming at you and I harder than he does anybody else. Because he wants to rob you of that. He's always out to rob, kill, and destroy. That's what he does. He's a liar. And there's all kinds of deception that's going out to convince you otherwise of what you think you believe. You know that? And it's happening on a greater scale more and more as we come close to the time of the Lord's second coming. It's being poured out. Lies are being poured out in unbelievable ways. So strong it's coming forth that if you don't make a determined effort to make a choice between what you're going to believe, you can get swept away. You and I are in a battle, and you better believe that this isn't just a religious hype. We get concerned and stirred up because it's true. And just like you want to protect your child, you better have a fervency of heart that you recognize what's really going on in this world. Because right now, the lies are coming, just pouring out like never before. It's important that we have understanding. It's important that we have eyes to see. And last week I mentioned, you know, the scripture in 2 Corinthians 4:18, I think it is, where it says that while we don't look at the things that are seen, but we look at the things that are not seen. You look at things that aren't seen? How do you do that? It's a attitude of understanding. It is a choice where you allow your heart to guide your mind. We know that Jesus came and died for the sins of the world and that he was resurrected. Is there anybody who doesn't believe that? We all believe that here. But we're going to need to be reminded of that. We're going to need to be able to take a hold of thoughts that come that try to tell us something otherwise. And if you don't think that you can get caught by the wiles of the enemy, you're a prime suspect. So you ever have to be on guard, don't you?
Yes.
Now, I mean, keep saying believe, and one of my favorite verses is that these are written that you may need. That you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
Yes.
Believing you might have life.
Eternal life. That's right. Yeah. Exactly. I love that song, you know, about what we believe, huh?
Mm.
You know, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and that He's given us new life. I mean, we believe that.
Yes, we do.
And I'll tell you, I know that we all do. But there's something that this life brings, the world system brings, the bad things, the distractions, the things that come in, that we need to be refreshed in this quite a bit, don't we? Okay, so I'm going to go to Psalm 91 now. And you know, again, there's always confirmation that comes here. And let's see if you see where this goes. See if you've heard a particular word here. Psalm 91. We're going to read the first four verses. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Did God say that in a different way this morning? What did He say this morning? What was that? Where did that
happen? Song?
Oh yeah, that first song we sung. Refuge was the name of it. I think I wrote it down.
I think
the name of it was Refuge. And a number of the verses in there said, I will cling to you. I will cling to you. I will cling to you. More than you and I know. You better get this from God. God wants us to glom on to Him and don't let go. That you have eyes to see what He's doing, that you trust Him, that you're not going to leave Him. He's not leaving or forsaking us. Let us not leave or forsake Him. And that can be easy to do in little chunks or in big long chunks, where we just kind of go our own way, and we don't hold on, and we're not serious about it. We're too casual about the way we look at the things of God. And for many people that are Christians, Sundays come and they go to church and they're all nice and good and they act real nice toward one another and it's a nice big showy show. And then the rest of the week they forget about God, they go their own way, they make the wrong choices, and they say, well, God's going to forgive me for that, and then go on. That's not how God wants us to be. He wants us clinging to Him. He wants us seeking Him. Because He wants to know, did you mean this? Doesn't He?
I'm saying this to myself. You know, like
Melinda said something about, she's speaking to herself a lot. I'm speaking to myself a lot when I'm preaching. I'm talking to myself most of the time. Because I'm the kind of guy that would, easy going. Let's not get too riled up about stuff. And if you see me riled up, that isn't my natural self. My natural self is to go hide in a corner. Don't let anybody notice me. And then he has me be the one that gets up a lot to preach. Why did he do that? But there's reasons why he does the things that he does, and we just need to it's so important for us. I don't know what it is. Part of what this message is that we need to be stirred up in our spirits. We need to understand the reality of what's really happening in life. Because this world system and the way the world, even the religious world, looks at God, there's particular compartments in life. And this is the God compartment. And then you have these other compartments. And everything is nice don't get too into it here. You know, I mean, just really kind of flow.
Yeah.
And we better be. I think a couple of the songs really talk about is we need to be more active in our life with the message of the gospel. And we're afraid. We're afraid we're not going to say the right words. We're afraid we're not going to be accepted by people. We have to put on a particular worldly air, if you know what I'm saying. I got it all together. Isn't that what the world expects out of you?
Yes.
You got to show that you can do this on your own. Huh? Doesn't the world say that Christians, they need a crutch? They need God for a crutch because they can't face life on their own. Isn't that what the world says? More we say that. We end up reacting and we're going to show that. But we can't.
So here we are. I haven't read this yet, huh?
Okay. Oh, yeah, I did.
Part of it.
Just the little part, not the whole thing. I said that he's my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings you will trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Hallelujah.
We've got to trust in His Word, don't we? The truth of His Word. I want you to go to... I don't think we've been in this book in a long, long, long time. You're going to go back into the Old Testament. You're going to go to the book of Zephaniah. Z-E-P-H-A. Okay, A-N-I-A-H. Zephaniah. It is... let's see. Malachi is the last book. It would be three books from the end of the Old Testament. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. So it's right toward the end of the Old Testament. Okay. So Malachi is the last book, and then Zechariah is the one right before that, and then Haggai is right before that, and then Zephaniah is the one there.
Zephaniah what?
Zephaniah, chapter 2. Says this, 2 verse 3. Zephaniah 2:3. Seek you the Lord, all you meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be that you will be hid in the day of the Lord's anger.
I don't understand where you're at. It doesn't read. Zephaniah
2:3.
Okay.
Zephaniah 2:3. You're in 1:3 or 2:3?
2:3.
Are you in Zechariah or Zephaniah?
Oh, I'm in Zechariah.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Zephaniah is in the back of Zechariah.
Yeah.
How important do you think this might be? To seek the Lord. You better not walk out of here and not take this to heart. If God is speaking this, you think He is, then you don't. If God is speaking this, then we better take this to heart. You and I better do something different if we haven't been seeking Him in a very regular, diligent kind of way. Maybe we need to start changing some things so that we do this. I'm talking about to me. If it spills over to you and you go, yeah, I guess I should, then grab a hold of this. Because God will help you to be able to do it. He never asks us to do anything we can't do. Right? You guys doing okay with this?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to go back, because I'm
Zephaniah chapter 1. I'll go back to Zephaniah 1. Amen. Verse 12. And it shall come to pass at that time, when God has been ready to judge, okay, that I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and will punish the men that are settled on their leads.
Can I say my part?
What's your say?
That is stagnant in the spirit.
Stagnant in the spirit.
I like that better.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Settled on their leads. Yeah, there's a complacency. It's carelessness. It means, what are you doing, Rich?
Can you put a time out?
I think we need to.
You're
going to
behave yourself
in the corner.
He's searching you with a lamp. He's looking at you. I want you to know that this is happening. He really is. He's looking at your heart. He's looking at my heart. He's searching us with lamps, or it says candles. But, and he's going to punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. God doesn't care what you're doing. Huh? Oh, now we got another translation.
You have one translation. I like this one too. People who are entrenched in their sins.
Entrenched in their sins.
Yes.
Because they don't think that God really cares. They don't think that God cares. Any other translations? These are good to get the nuance. The nuance.
Say that again.
Men who settle down comfortably.
Settling down comfortably. Yeah. But, and aren't we like that as individuals, as a nation? Well, we become very comfortable. We want everything to be comfortable. We don't want messages that are uncomfortable. We don't want to get put out of our way. I want you to turn now to back over to Zephaniah chapter 2.
All right, we're going to go to the last verse in chapter 2 and then read the first few in chapter 3. This is the rejoicing city that dwells, how's it say it in yours?
Securely.
Securely?
Carelessly.
Carelessly is the way it says it in mine. Okay? Worry-free. Casual. Not really taking anything to heart. Hearing but not hearing. Yeah. That can happen even right now.
Yeah.
While you're hearing something that God wants to speak to you through some other person out of his word with confirmation that has come in other ways, and we cannot understand that this is God that's trying to get to us and get to our hearts. That's kind of scary, isn't it? That God could be saying something to you. Oh God, just speak to me and I'll do whatever you want me to do. And he doesn't, and we don't even recognize that it's him that's doing the talking. Because you can get focused on particular things. You want a particular message, but you don't hear it today. You hear something else. Well, this isn't what God wanted to, you know, I wanted something different today. I wanted something that was going to just really lift me up, and I just needed something right. You know, we do this with our minds, don't we? We try to tell God what we need. We do. We want God to relate to us on our understanding, not on His. And that's why we need to be people that are, that when we're looking for wisdom, that we're also looking to be able to see like God sees things. He sees yours and my heart. He knows how much we are distracted by the world. Yeah?
Yes.
That can happen right as soon as you walk out. That doesn't even have to wait until you leave here. It can happen right now. Can it?
Yes.
You could be, reading along, and you notice a hair sticking down from your Bible, and you pull it out, and you're not really listening to what's, The enemy has ways of doing things, a little stupid, little funny things, just like that stupid little example I just gave. We really do have to be more vigilant in this life in terms of listening to God, sensing His presence, being aware of what the enemy's up to. We need that, and we don't know how to do that because we're not born that way, and we don't have a lot of practice. But I'm telling you, if you and I want to be perhaps hid in the day of the Lord's anger, maybe we better seek Him and seek His righteousness and seek humbleness, seek meekness, like it says here, and what He's saying. You and I could miss this. You know? Because you got other things on your mind. And you miss something. Something that God has said. I mean, I don't know how many times God has said certain things to me. And I've heard it over and over and over again. And I'm wondering why He keeps saying it. Oh, I haven't really been listening that well. I kind of hear, but I'm not doing anything. I'm not taking it to heart the way I need to. I'm not seeking Him. You know, we come to church and we think we're doing a great thing. And in a sense we are. In one sense. But, you know, the scripture tells us, what our service to God should be like anyway. We shouldn't come in here. We think it's a big deal. We sacrifice to come here on Sunday sometimes. We think it's a big deal that we're doing things that God asks us to do. Look at me. Look, hey, I'm a good Christian. And yet, that's a reasonable service of worship. That's the reasonable thing to do.
There's a lot of different ways of being distracted that we don't even think about a lot of times, you know? And the devil is smart. He understands where we're at. He can even utilize our own Christianity against us sometimes. Sometimes we get so focused on a cause, something that we believe is biblical principle, that we focus on that one principle and we miss everything else because we're so focused on that. And you see that a lot with Christians. Is, you know, let's say an example would be like, let's say you're anti-abortion, you know, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But you can get so consumed
at
being anti-abortion that you miss everything else that God is telling you to do. some people even miss it to the point where they actually do something like bomb a place.
Yeah.
Because they're so consumed with that, they're so distracted by this cause,
yes,
that they're missing what God is saying in their life. And so we have to be really vigilant on what God is saying all the time in our lives, what cause to go to, when to go, how to go, and when not to go. There's so many distractions. I mean, and a lot of times we don't think about these things. We just think we're doing something right,
yeah,
because this is what God stands on. And sometimes that isn't even right either. So if you take that into consideration, just think of all the other things that we get distracted by,
yes,
outside of the Christian walk.
Because the seeking is the word means to diligently seek. That doesn't mean casually seek. Oh, I feel like seeking the Lord today. Or something bad happens and you're driven to seek the Lord. And that's how most even Christians are. People don't think about God unless something bad happens, and then you're crying out and wondering why this is happening. Isn't that what happens to most people?
Yes. The trouble is when they do things like that in God's name, it's bad for the rest of them.
Yeah, you're talking about like what
you're
saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, that gives a bad name to everybody else.
That's an example of Christianity.
Yes. And it is important that we have God's understanding about these things. Because the world wants to frame us and wants us to be boxed into a corner where all we have to do is that they want us to show love by not speaking the truth. They want us to show that we're loving people by accepting the very things that God calls perversion, that God says is wrong. So it's important, and this is why it takes understanding. This is why it takes, and you're not going to know that unless you're making God your refuge. That you're going back to the Word of God. That you're going into your prayer closet. If all of this is just a concept that is not being done, you want to, but you don't find yourself doing, at some point in time, you end up missing out on having that understanding that you really need. It's only going to come on your knees. It's only going to come by reading the Bible and crying out to God to have the right kind of understanding for it. We are in a time a few Sundays ago, I had a message that was out of 2 Thessalonians about how there's going to be, when the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world, and as we get closer to the time where he's going to end up appearing, that there's going to be just a flood of lies that are going to happen, and there's going to be lying wonders. Okay? I've been reading about on the internet some different things, and you know, you've got to be careful what you read on the internet too. But do you know that back in the 50s, 1958, 59, that our government had developed, I don't want to say flying saucers, but UFO type looking things that could zip here and zip there. Did you know that? Did you know that? Because one of these deceptions is going to be the coming of aliens. You watch what's going to happen. If you open up to that lie, you hearing this? I'm giving you something, a real practical kind of thing. Maybe you just dismiss it right off the bat. That would be good. But But, you know, you have things that are going to come at you. They're going to be lying wonders. There's going to be things that are happening in the heavens, it says. There's all these things that are going to be happening. And if you're not solid on what you know to be in the Word of God, you could get tricked. You could be deceived. You could be taken out of the way. You could be in the great falling away if you're not careful. Oh, well, God will just take care of me. I don't have anything to worry about. And yet, the scripture's real clear that we are supposed to be seeking understanding and seeking wisdom. And we're not supposed to, we don't need to seek it. If God's just going to miraculously let us know every little thing that's going on without any seeking, I think you're reading the wrong Bible. Do you hear that? You're reading the wrong Bible if you think you have nothing that you have to do. It's going to be God's power. But you have to be connected. You and I have to be seeking. And not in a, oh my God, what's going to happen next? I've got to be ready. No. You and I trust God, right? And we ask God and we seek Him because we love Him and we're thankful for what He's done. Right? And as we are appreciative of that and we say, God, I'm setting aside the way I used to live. I want to live a little differently here. I want to be closer to You. There's got to be some people that are going to choose to do that. And maybe not everybody in here will. I don't know. I don't know if I will. If I don't keep toeing the mark. But I don't feel, and I hope you don't, feel burdened down by that. This is a wonderful thing that we have what God has shown us and has given to us so that we can work out our salvation with fear and trembling. How do you explain that one? You know? There's a lot of meaty kind of things here for us to be considering. Because if you, I've said this numbers for the last few years, if you think that life is just going to keep on going on just the way you think it's always been, it's not going to be that way. We're coming down to the very end of things. Things are changing. And if you don't have eyes to see that, how about, you know, if you think of what's he talking about? What's changing? I don't see anything changing. Right?
Saying how, with all the electronics and the computers, everything's changing so fast, we don't even have laws to keep up with it.
No, we don't. No, it's crazy. Our government can do holograms. Alright? That doesn't need a background. That doesn't need a particular projector. Our government can do this already. This is scary. In fact, this guy I was listening to yesterday was saying that not only does the government have holograms. Everybody know what a hologram is, right? 3D imaging. Not only do they have the holograms, but a person could walk up to where the focus of the hologram is and touch it and they would think it was real. Oh my gosh! That's spooky. That's called a lying wonder. And the scripture says those are going to be happening in the last days. So just be aware that there are things way out beyond our little lives that are going on in realms of power in this world. And it's all to deceive. Yeah. So we better have understanding. In us looking for wisdom, we better get understanding. We better have eyes to see what's really happening around us, to us. In us, don't we? Mm-hmm. I asked, I I ask myself, well, I ask the Lord, I'll put it this way. I ask the Lord for what's inside of me to give me a fervor that goes beyond. How many times have I talked about, you know, how we need to be stirred up in our spirits?
Yes, yes.
There's something more here that if we don't say, God, give me some understanding about this. Let me see this full bore, so that I just don't take this as another message and be going on when you're trying to get to my heart and light a fire underneath my spirit. Not that we're going to be preachers, but that we're going to be alive to Him in a greater way. I just feel like I just want to have an explosion, and because more than you realize, you and I are wrapped up in spiritual chains that we don't even realize are still there, even though we're born again.
Yes.
Because we allow it. We're not really pushing against that darkness. We're not finding Him as a refuge. We're just allowing life to happen and react to life. I hope you're getting this.
Yes. Yes.
Because God wants an army at the end that is walking in the light of His countenance.
Yes. Yes.
Or are those just poetic words? What do you think? Yes.
When you're talking to stir up your spirit, Julie, I was talking about feeling urgency.
Yeah.
Feeling urgency.
Yeah.
To just, I don't even know what it is, but it's to speak truth. It's to, and it's weird because I think what's going to happen more and more, and it's happened in my office, I don't say a whole lot, but they know where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
They've been asking me questions about the end times.
Yeah.
And they're not Christians. And they're asking me these questions. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, there's a reason for this. They're seeing things themselves.
Yeah.
And they don't even know the whole Word of God. And they're seeing it.
Yeah.
And they're asking me. And I'm thinking, we got to be really prepared to tell people, to speak to them, and explain to them what's happening so that... that brings them to the Lord, you know?
Yes.
And they understand. You don't need to be afraid, but you better be settled with God the Father.
I wonder how much more people that aren't saved are thinking about these, seeing these things and thinking about them and asking questions, and then people within the church were very casual because we kind of know this stuff. We're born again. We have nothing to worry about. Why do we even need to think about any of these things? Jesus is just going to come along and we're just going to be taken out and there won't be any... What do we have to be so concerned about? And yet, there's a dying, dark world that needs the light that God has placed in us. I think there was another song that dealt with that. The light that God has put in us, is that there just for us? Because that's what people are thinking. Well, what do we need to be prepared for? I'm ready for the Lord. Well, yeah, you're just thinking about yourself.
Isn't that a bit self-righteous?
That isn't self-centered. You know? Oh, I'm ready.
Yeah,
well, what about other people?
Yeah.
Don't we need to be prepared for other people? Aren't we supposed to be God's light in the world because He's in us? And we're selfish and we hold back and we're fearful and we're not going to do this and we're not going to do that. And what does it matter if we know this or we know that? You see what I think, God's doing in football, a forearm shiver. You know, we're trying to run past the Lord and the Lord goes, bam. Because he has to get our attention. There's something for you and me to be doing more than what we're doing. And you're probably tired of hearing something like that. My gosh, I hear that all the time. I'm never doing enough. Just never doing enough for God.
Well, you know what? You wouldn't hear it a lot if we were doing it more. Because I'm not, you know, to me, I just kind of squirrel off some here. God wants to get our attention. I know he wants to get my attention. Right?
No, it's...
Oh, thank you.
There should be an excitement in wanting to tell others about what we know. Like you're saying, you know it. Self-righteous us. You know, who are we? But we should be excited to tell others. Every time we go out that door or out our home door, we should be excited. Why isn't there excitement in us?
And be looking for that opportunity.
That's what we're missing, is excitement to tell others about Jesus. To share that so there's light in others that are dying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
Some people are going to hell.
Right.
A lot of people
are
going to hell.
Do we want them to go to hell? That's the big question. Why aren't we excited to keep them from going to hell?
Don't we need this? I mean,
that's the whole thing.
Do you need this to be stirred up in you?
Yes. We hold back.
Yes.
Do you? I do.
Stir up.
I need that. I need a different kind of fervor. I need a different kind of desire for the lost, you know? So do you. And God's putting his finger on that today. Open up. Let's open up to it. Amen? Let's have ears to hear. And then the will to do. Amen?
So Lord, Stir us, God. We don't even know our
bad condition. You know, give us the eyesight so that we can see that really, in lots of ways, we're miserable and poor and blind and naked, and we need to be able to see ourselves the way you see us. And that it not be a condemning thing, but a thing to provoke us unto love and good works. God, help us to see, to hear this in the right way. This is not condemnation. This is for us to be provoked to a higher place in you. And we know this. We know it in our hearts, Lord. And so, Lord, we open up our hearts to be convicted in the right kind of way that brings about righteousness and good works, Lord, that come from us. That we have a heart for the lost, Lord God. That we be excited about your coming, and that we would want to express that to other people. Help us, Jesus. Don't let us be framed in by the world's understanding of who you are, or what religion is, or how they would want to. Put us into a corner. But Lord, that we would just be alive and free and led by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Listen to that prayer.